So we're on the top of Daf Hey Amud Aleph. Literally on the top. And we're talking about Megillah Bizman, Megillah Shalom Bizman, whether you need Asar, you don't need Asar, Lechachila, B'dyevet, what's the Kuva, Machlok Shin Rav and Rav Asi, and we'll see a Machlok Shin Rashi and Tosfos as to how to understand this sugi. So let's just start with Omar Rav, Megillah Bizmano, Koronosa Afilu B'yachid. So according to Shitas Rav, with regard to Megillah Bizmano, which means that if Purim falls out on Yudalit, or for example in the case of the Mukafim on Tesvav, so that's called Megillah Bizmano. This is not Midin Kedima, this is the classical Megillah Bizmano. Says Rav, there's no need to run around and look for a minion, look for Asara. In other words, if it's Bizmano, the Bizman itself sets up the Pirsum Anes. I don't need to set up the Pirsum Anes artificially, externally, by gathering together 10 people. But Shalom Bizmano, if on the other hand we're talking about Din Kedima, and you'll take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, Shalom Bizmano, 3 lines from the top. Kegon Kfarim Amakdimim Liyoma Knisa. The Rashba and the Ritva say that they don't want to go that way and say that Shalom Bizman is a reference to Makdim Liyom HaKnisa, because already at the time of the Gemara they didn't have this din. There was already a bittul of this takana of Makdim Liyom HaKnisa, but rather they would talk about a case where Purim fell on Shabbos. And if Purim falls on Shabbos, then you'd have to read the Megillah on Erev Shabbos. Other Rishonim and Achronim tried to defend Rashi and say that maybe Rashi meant on a theoretical basis that it doesn't mean that Bnei HaKfarim befall in actuality, because that whole takana was gone. But nevertheless, Rashi wants to convey to us the conceptual idea, and then we'll flesh out the practical implications, that conceptually, if you have a din of Kedima, since you're lacking the day itself of Purim, it's a separate Kriyas HaMegillah, you have to somehow artificially pump in Pirsum HaNes. You got to find a Pirsum HaNes, and therefore we need Asar. That's as far as Shalom Bizmano is concerned. That's called Shalom Bizmano Basar. So as far as Megillah Bizmano is concerned, if you talk about Yudalit or Tesvav, then there's no need for Asar. So in other words, according to Rav, they established the mitzvah of Megillah as both a chiyuv yachid and a kiyum yachid, meaning the kiyum tzibur element is not necessary. Now, some of the mafarshim will say that even according to Rav, he would be machmer himself, and he himself tried to get a minyan even in the case of Megillah Bizmano. So that you see that although the obligation is not incumbent upon the tzibur, but nevertheless, if you add the tzibur element to the picture, you enhance the mitzvah, you embellish the mitzvah. That's a kiyum mitzvah, even according to Rav, and even in the case of Megillah Bizmano. But Shalom Bizmano requires asara. And only when you have asara is there pirsum anes. Then we get to Rav Asi. Rav Asi says, Bein Bizmano, Bein Shalom Bizmano, Basara. Even in the case of Megillah Bizmano, we want asara. And here we're going to have Machlok, Shinashi, and Tosfos. What is the nature of Rav Asi's requirement of asara in the case of Megillah Bizmano? In the case of Megillah Shalom Bizmano, we've already seen in the context of Rav that asara is critical. The chiyuv in Pirsum HaNes requires that you have asara because it's Shalom Bizmano. That we saw in Rav, and how much more so in Rav Asi. But with regard to Megillah Bizmano, we said that according to Rav, it doesn't make a difference whether or not they were asara or biyachid. Rav Asi certainly wants asara, but the question is, does he set up asara as something absolutely critical, or it only enhances the mitzvah? Meaning, we have to make an effort even in the case of Megillah Bizmano, we have to make an effort to try to gather together asara. But if you don't get asara, it's not catastrophic. We don't forfeit the mitzvah Megillah. You can read the Megillah biyachid. So if you take a look at Rashi, about 5 lines down from the top, Rashi says, Ravasi Omar, Bein Bizmano, Bein Shalom Bizmano, Mitzvah lechazer achar asora. The mitzvah requires us to look and try to find asora. We should pursue me nisa. In other words, whereas Rav says that the day itself, since it's the 14th, that generates pirsum anes. Rav Asi says that the real kiyum of pirsum anes, even bismana, even on yudalid, requires asara. So that's the spitz. That's the ultimate ideal kiyum of pirsum anes. Oh, says Rashi, aval im lo ashkach asara. What happens if you couldn't find asara? Is lo amar Rav Asi de lo likri. Rav Asi would not say that you can't read the Megillah without asara. And we're talking about Megillah Bizmana. Again, Megillah Shalom Bizmana, we said, requires Asara, and that's critical. But as far as Megillah Shalom Bizmana, Rashi says, I'm sorry, as far as Megillah Bizmana, Rashi says that although Rav Asi, in one breath, he combines Megillah Bizmana with Megillah Shalom Bizmana, requiring Asara, but they're two different dinim. Even though he formulates it in one sentence, they're two different categories. As far as Megillah Shalom Bizman is concerned, there we need Asara, and that's critical. As far as Megillah Bizman is concerned, Rashi says, Mitzvah Lechazer Achar Asara. We have to look for Asara because of Pirsum Anes. If he doesn't find Asara, that's a whole different story. Lo Amar Avasi Delo Likri. And here Rashi has a strange formulation which really boggled my mind. She'ein iser kriyasa v'yachin. I don't know what he means. Ein iser kriyasa v'yachin. I mean, was the Havamina that there's an iser of kriya v'yachin? Ela mitzvah likrosa basar. I don't know why Rashi added these words. Ein iser likriyasa. I mean, obviously Megillah is one of Chav Dalet Kisrei HaKodesh. It's part of Tanakh. There couldn't be an iser b'kriyasa. I don't know what he means by that. He asked Lafuki, he asked exclude of iser b'kriyasa. That I don't understand. So all this is Shitas Rashi. Okay. However,
Rashi
yeah.
Very emphatic. Mitzvah after Asura. Also, in the Shlomo, Ela Mitzvah, Rosh Hashanah, Asura.
So you want to suggest that Rashi holds mitzvah lots after Asura, even with regard to Shalom Bizman, which means that even Shalom Bizman, you can read the Megillah B'yochid. Which is very paradoxical, because then it comes out that according to Rav, the way we interpreted Shalom Bizmana, the requirement of Asar was absolutely critical in order to generate Pirsum Anes. So the precondition of Shalom Bizmana, according to Rav, was Asara. But now, John, you point out that it could be Rashi saying that Dafka Rav Asi is more Megill in Megillah Shalom Bizmana, and he would accept Megillah Shalom Bizmana even without Asara if he can't find Asara.
But it's mitzvah, of course.
In other words, Rashi is saying that according to Rav Asi, we're going to combine both Megillah Bizman and Megillah Shalom Bizman in one package. We'll wrap it up in one neat package, and they're equal. Which means that both Megillah Bizman and Megillah Shalom Bizman are the requirement of Asar is only lechatkiwa. That's only an ideal. And Rashi says, mitzvah, latzar, achar, asara. We have an obligation to try to gather together asara. However, both in Megillah Bizmana and Shalom Bizmana, according to Rashi's interpretation of Asi, you will read it b'yochid. Whereas Rav seems to assume that Shalom Bizmana, it's critical to require asara. And how do I know this? Because Rashi on line 4 says, ein karnosa elam asara. So it's really paradoxical that whereas Rav is more machmir and Shalom Bizmana than Rav Asi, Rav Asi is more machmir and Bizmana. But even the chumra of Asi in Bizmana, that's only mitzvah, but not that if you don't find that sorry, you have to forfeit the mitzvah of Kriya Samigila. There will be a mitzvah of Kriya Samigila even without Asara. And it could be that Rashi is saying that includes both Megillah Bizmana and Megillah Shalom Bizmana according to Rav Asi. So whereas Rav is of the opinion that Megillah Shalom Bizmana desperately needs Asara, Rav Asi holds that in general with regard to the mitzvah of Megillah, it doesn't matter where you are, whether you're in the Kfarim and you're reading on Yudalit Beis Yudgim, or whether you're in the Ayaros and you're reading on Yudalit, or in the Krachim and you're reading on Tesla. In all cases, no matter when you're reading, it's all one din. Namely, Tzarech Mitzvah Latzar Achar Asara. We try L'chadchi to get Asara, but we will have a mitzvah of Mikra Megillah even beyond. So I would say it like this, that according to Rashi in Rav Asi, the Chiyuv is a Chiyuv Yochid, the Kiyuv is a Kiyuv Tzibur. You could have a kiyum yachid in a fallback position where you can't get together asara, but in the ideal situation or scenario, you would want to have a kiyum of tzibur, both for Megillah Bizman and Megillah Shelo Bizman. So again, the way Rashi seems to formulate it, there's no fundamental difference, according to Rav Asi, between Megillah Bizman and Megillah Shelo Bizman. There's one definition that applies to both of them, namely, the Chova is on the Yachid. The Kiyum L'chatchil would be a Kiyum Tzibur, to get Asara together. However, there is a Kiyum Tzibur, there is a Kiyum Yachid even in the case of Megillah Shelo Bizman, because the Chiyuv is a Chiyuv Yachid. This is all the Shita of Rashi. Tosus has a different Shita. So I'll read to you here, he quotes it. Tosus is not here, it's elsewhere. And he writes the following. Let's see if I can find it. Okay. Okay, you know what? I think it's clearer in the back, actually. In the Yalkut Habi'ur. Oh, I made a little. Ulam Tosvis Mevuar Shechilku, that Shenechilku, meaning Shechilku, they argued Bidin Bidieved. L'Rav Asi, Afilu Bidieved Ein Likro Biyachid. Okay, now here, what we're having is a revolution of sorts, meaning from the context, if we start our context of from Rashi. So most of you aren't here, but let me just reiterate this so you'll appreciate what we're saying now. According to Ramashi, the requirement of Asara is only lechatchila. That's only to embellish the mitzvah. That's only the ideal mitzvah. He can't get Asara, you read the Megillah without Asara. Now Tosfos comes along with a radical chiddush, and this really changes our whole perspective on this sugya. And he says that according to Rav Asi, afilu b'dieved, even if you cannot absolutely find Asara, ein likro b'yachid. We have to forfeit the mitzvah. That's the Shita of Tosfos. So that I'm not sure. I think it's later on. We'll see. We might be able.
I'll tell you.
He probably means this Tosfos Havi Uvda, but we're not up to this Tosfos yet. So maybe we'll see if we can fit in this Tosfos. But again, it comes out that according to Tosus, in Rav Asi's frame of reference, Megillah was established as a Chovas Tzibur. And if you don't have a Tzibur, forget it. There's no chance to do the mitzvah. Now, where do we find such a thing, that you have a mitzvah that you can only fulfill if you have a Tzibur? So the paradox for that would be Kriyas HaTorah, correct? And in Kriyas HaTorah, there's no possibility of fulfilling this mitzvah without a tzibur. However, even according to Tosfos, you might argue that there's a difference, fundamental difference, between Kriyas HaMegillah and Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah, you might argue, the mitzvah itself, only the chiyuv, the obligation itself, only emerges when you have a tzibur. Whereas Megillah, the chiyuv emerges even with regard to the yachid, just that the yachid cannot fulfill his obligation without a tzibur. Now, where do we find such a thing where the yachid requires a tzibur? I'll give you two examples that I found. I'm sure there are others. One is Birchas HaGomel, because we paskin, again, the Torah quotes a different opinion, but we paskin that there's no Birchas HaGomel without a sorrow. But surely the chiyuv of Birchas HaGomel is our bot, Mahodos. It's not a chiyuv that's incumbent upon the tzibur, it's incumbent on the yachid, but the yachid desperately needs the tzibur in order to fulfill his mitzvah. Hey, Marshal Ma'adovra Dome, if I don't have a lulav, I can't fulfill the mitzvah of lulav. And maybe in Chanukah, if I don't have a bias, I can't fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. But it doesn't mean that I'm not chayav in the mitzvah. I won't be able to fulfill the mitzvah. In this case, I won't be able to fulfill the mitzvah of Birchas HaGomel without Asara. A similar idea we find in Birchas Chasanim, that the Chasan has to gather together Asara and Noshim in order to be Mevarach the Birchas Chasanim. And that's Gemara Masechet Ksubis. And the Gemara derives from Boaz, that Boaz, when he married Ruth, he gathered together Asara. And the Gemara interprets that he got together Asara in order to be Mevarach Birchas Chasanim.
I think he also, at the same place, had to gather
Asara for Yibam. Could be, according to one by the other. Could be. But in any event, we have already precedence for a Chovas Yachid, which is dependent upon a Kiyum Tzibur. So it could be, I'm not sure about it, that when Tosus says that according to Rav Asi, you absolutely need a Tzibur for Mikra Megillah, I don't know if he means that you're not Chayiv and the Chiyuv doesn't emerge until you get together the Tzibur. The Chiyuv is incumbent on the Tzibur from the get-go. It could be the obligation is incumbent on the Yachid. Every single individual is obligated to Mikra Megillah. He cannot fulfill his mitzvah without asara. That's a possibility. Rashi on the other hand is saying no, that not only is there a chiyuv tzibur, not only is there a chiyuv yochid, there's also a kiyum yochid. And Rashi says that if him lo eshkach asara, he doesn't find asara, then that's okay, and he can fulfill the mitzvah as a fallback position even without asara. Okay. Okay. Now the Gemara adds another line over here. Havi Uvda. Right? There was a case. V'choshle Rav Lahodra Vasi. Which means that Rav was very careful, and L'chumra, he accepted Rav Asi, and he looked for Asara. So once again, we're going to have two interpretations here as to what exactly was the Chumra of Rav. Rashi is going to learn that the Chumra of Rav is that even in a case of Megillah Bizmana, Rav searched, with a flashlight, he looked for Asara Noshe. Right? That's what we said, that Rashi on the fifth line from the top, in explaining Rav Asi, he says, Mitzvah Lachazer Achra Asara, Lachazer Achra Asara. So this was Rav's Chumra, like Rav Asi, he was Chozer Achra Asara, meaning he tried to find Asara. According to Tosfos, who says that Rav Asi would require Asara with Yikuva, that it's absolutely critical to get Asara. So what did Rav do over here? If Rav is only accepting upon himself a Chumra, and he was Choshesh for the Shita of Rav Asi, would he forego the mitzvah of Megillah? So if you take a look at Tosfos, it says the following. First of all, he points out that even though Rav was machmifer of Asi, mikomakom, hilchus akavase de Rav. Now, Tosfos here is going to exercise a few rules and regulations that govern psak halacha to establish that we paskin like Rav. Number one, Tosfos has a sugya later on in Masechta Megillah that Rav Yochanan isa kavase, that Rav Yochanan agrees with Rav, and there is such a thing as Megillah B'Yachid without a Tzibur, without a Sora. Now, in order to really appreciate how Tosfos knows this, we're going to really have to work very hard. Because the Sugya Megillah talks about really what is a Megillah, physically. What is the entity of Megillah? And there's something called Haksuva Bein Haksuvim. In other words, the question is, what can you use for Megillah? Is it enough? Is it enough that you have just Megillah's Esther, or it has to be Ksuva Ben Aksuvim? Umasik, and the Gemara differentiates between a Yachid and a Tzibur. And if you're reading the Megillah but Tzibur, then you require what's called a Megillah Ksuva Ben Aksuvim. If we quickly fast forward to Daf Yutes on the base, just for a split second here, and we'll try to get a quick shot at this if we can. Oh, shucks, now I don't see it. It's on the top of the page. You see it?
Yep.
And he says the following. Let's go back to your testament, Aleph, just for a second. He says, there's a case of Levi Bar Shmuel who was reading the Megillah in the presence of Rabbi Yehuda. The Megillah Haksuva Bein Haksuvim. Now, what this means is that, unfortunately, because it's got all of, let's say, Ksuvim in it, right? We know that Megillah says this part of Ksuvim. So therefore, it's not nikar, it's not clear to the people that he's reading Megillas Esther as a separate entity. Only when the Megillah was written on parchment as a separate Megillah, then it's what's called nikar milsa. So if you want to go back a little bit earlier for a second on page Yutesom and Aleph, and it's about, let's say, Omer Rabbi Yehuda, how many lines up is it from the bottom? About three lines up from the bottom, he says, in the name of Shmuel, Omer Rabbi Yehuda Shmuel, HaKorei Megillah Ksuv Ben Aksuvim Lo Yotza. So the Hebrew translation reads as follows. It says, Shalhayim Kol Sifrei Aksuvim B'Sefer Echad. All of Ksuvim was written like one and one scroll, and the Megillah amongst them is Lo Yotza, according to Shmuel, Lo Yotza. And we're going to see that Rabbi Yochanan is going to differentiate between a Yachid and a Tzibur. So what does it mean, Lo Yotza? And the answer is that the Megillah itself is called, in the Megillah, it's called Igeris. And Igeris means what's called Bifnei Atzma, meaning all you have is Megillas Esther. And if you have a Ksuvim Ben Aksuvim, then it's lacking in Pirsum Anes, because it's Eino Nikar. It's not obvious that he's reading the Megillah. So again, we'd have to study this in depth. When we look on the top of Daf Yutesam at Beis, we'll see on the third line, Omrav Chia Bar Abba Omrav Yochanan HaKorei Megillah Ksuv Ben Aksuvim Lo Yotza. So here it says that he's not Yotza. Umachulei Amocha. When they heard this statement in the name of Rav Yochanan, they made a protest about it. Machalei Amocha, meaning they started banging on the table, and they said, could that really be so? And then they qualify the statement of Rabbi Yochanan, but Tzibur Shani, that you're not Yotze the mitzvah of Tzibur. And Rashi says that the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTzibur requires a Pirsum Anes, and in this case of Ksuva Ben Aksuvim, there's no element of Pirsum Anes. But if he was only reading it B'Yochid, then Anachinami, he could be Yotze even with Ksuva Ben Aksuvim. So Tosa says it comes out that you can be Yotze the mitzvah of the Yachid, according to Rabbi Yochanan. And the Chiddush is even with Megillah Ksuva Ben Aksuvim, but certainly it means that you have a Kiyum of Yachid. So this whole business about requiring a Tzibur is only to embellish the mitzvah. And therefore Tosa proves that Rabbi Yochanan agrees with Rav. So now we have Rav and Rabbi Yochanan against Rav Asi. And in such a case, Tosa says that even if there would be a machlokas between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, we would pass like Rabbi Yochanan. The Kolshkin, how much more so when Rav and Rabbi Yochanan are agreeing, b'chad shitaseh, that there is such an entity as Kriyas HaMegillah B'Yochid. So therefore, we put Rav Asi in the back burners, and we're going to paskin like both Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. So there is a cue. You see, Tosa's operating with whether or not you can salvage the mitzvah Megillah, even B'Yochid. Is there such an entity as B'Yochid? And we see from Yochanan Daf Yutes that there is a key of mitzvah of reading the Megillah B'Yochid. And that's the Sheet of Rav. And it means that Rav Asi would deny such an entity as a key of Yochid. And the Gemara is not differentiating between the Megillah B'Zman and Megillah Shelo B'Zman. According to Rav Asi, the critical requirement of a Tzibur applies Bein B'Zman and Bein Shelo B'Zman. But we don't accept that, because we accept Rav Shita and Rav Yochanan Shita, that there is such a thing as a Kiyum Megillah B'Yochid, and that applies Bein B'Zman and Bein Shelo B'Zman. So far, Tosus has flexed one muscle here to prove that we pass like Rav, and that is the fact that Rav Yochanan agrees with Rav. Now he flexes another muscle. And he says, V'od, and furthermore, Rav Asi, Talmud Rav Hava. The truth is that Rav Asi had two Rebbeim. One Rebbe was Rav, and the other Rebbe was Rav Yochanan. You know, very often you find Rav Asi coming to ask his Rebbe questions, and it's Rav Yochanan that he says. But in any event, he was a Talmud of both Rav and Rav Yochanan, and therefore, we're not going to pass him like a Talmud b'mokum Rav. So the two reasons why we can accept Rav Shita, one is because Rav has the agreement of Rav Yochanan, and number two, because Rav is the Rebbe of Rav Asi. So therefore we do have a mitzvah of Megillah even B'Yochid, And right now I'm going to assume that that applies both in Megillah Bismana and Megillah Shelo Bismana. Again, your diuk, John, is still out, you know, an outstanding diuk, that maybe Rashi is implying that only Rav Asi accepts Shelo Bismana B'yochid. I don't know. Right now I get the impression from Tosis that we're not differentiating between Megillah Bismana and Megillah Shelo Bismana. Rav would say it's okay without a minyan, and Rav Asi would insist that you cannot fulfill this mitzvah without a minyan. Then Tosus quotes a very rare sheep, a very rare Balatosus, Rav Yosef Ish Yushalayim. You may recall that we met up with Rav Yosef Ish Yushalayim back on Dav Dalet Amud Aleph. So it's amazing that in two blot consecutively we have Rav Yosef Ish Yushalayim. That's at the end of this Tosus on Dav Dalet Amud Aleph. Afhein Hoyu Biyosa on this. So he says Pasak the Af Biyachim. Now again, we thought that according to Rashi, when he says that even the yachid you'll make a bracha and you'll be kind of mitzvah, that maybe he was talking according to Rav Asi, and Rav Asi would say that even when we're makdim and it's not bismana, Rav Asi would say that you have to look for a minyan, but you can read it biyachid. We weren't sure about what Rashi would say according to Rav, and let's assume we're paskin like Rav here. So what would Rav say about Megillah Shelo Bismana if you don't have a minyan? And the impression you get from Rabbi Yosef Ish Yushalayim is he understood from the tshuva of Rashi that you can obtain the mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah even biyachid. And once again, he's not differentiating between Megillah Bismana and Megillah Shelo Bismana. Sheheshiv, now he quotes a Tshuva Rashi, Yir V'enai, Deloshna Yochid V'loshna Tzibur Echid Mevarech V'acherim Shomim. So one person will make the bracha and others will listen to the bracha. Now honestly, Rabosai, I'm not sure. I need a lot more research to figure out why Rashi in this tshuva had to go out of his way to say that Echad Mevarech V'Acherim Shomim? Is that a special halacha in Megillah? Is that a universal halacha of Barov HaMadis Melech? Maybe one person should say Kiddush, or one person should recite the bracha on Matzah and Mor. I don't know.
We're assuming it wasn't a meme, right? We're assuming it's not a sarah. We're assuming they had less than the sarah. It still would make. It seems to the tshuva of Rashi. It seems to be that I have three, four people that eat. We shouldn't just read it. One person should do it and everybody will listen to it, because that's part of the Pirsum Reneis, maybe.
No, that I understand very well. Yeah, but why did Rashi have to emphasize Echad Mevarech? Is he emphasizing the bracha? Well, maybe Rashi doesn't mean it. Echad Mevarech means Echad Kore. I don't know. But again, if you're willing to be what I call a literalist, and you take Rashi literally, and the word Mevarech means bracha, is this some sort of universal principle? You know, for example, let's say we all say Hallel together. Should one person recite the bracha and we should all listen to his bracha? I don't know. We usually don't do that. We usually make every person makes his own bracha. Why is Megillah different than Hallel? Right? Yeah, right. Exactly. Exactly. Because he didn't. He knew he was going to make his own bracha. But Rashi is saying Echad Mevarech V'Acherim Shomim. So I don't know. You know, we assume that Barov HaMadis Melech applies to, let's say, Kiddush itself, but what about the bracha on a mitzvah? Here we're talking about a bracha on a mitzvah. You know, it's very interesting. Halach l'maisa, if we get together for a mitzvah, should one person make the bracha? Each person should make his own bracha? Like, for example, in Shofar. I don't know that the Rav made his own bracha in Shofar. I think he heard the Tokeah. So what are the rules that govern Birkas HaMitzvah when we do a mitzvah as a group? Should one person make the bracha? Like for example, the Rav was very makdid in Leil HaSeder that one person should read the Haggadah for everybody. That's not our minhag. Our minhag is that everybody reads the Haggadah for themselves. And the Rav understood from the Rambam that there's only one person, and the Shulchan Aruch in Hadlakas Ner Chanuk also assumes that Ner Yishu Beiso and Ner L'chol Echad B'Echad is one person is madlik for everybody else. Not the way we do it, like the Ramah, that everybody. So I'm never clear. When do we say that when we get together a group of people we should listen and be silent? And when do we say no, each person should do it for himself? You know what I mean? And here Rashi seems to go out of his way to tell us that in Kriyas HaMegillah the bracha is recited by one person, Bacherim Shomim. I don't know that anyone does it otherwise. I don't know that there's a meaning that each one should make his own bracha, but I wouldn't be shocked if there is such a thing. Like, for example, in Svirsa Omer, I think everybody makes their own bracha, correct? And the Rav, of course, is going to be makin to make the bracha before the Shlichus Tzibur, right? But my only question is, you know, what's the guiding rule here? You know, some mitzvahs we each make our own bracha, and other mitzvahs we hear the bracha from someone else. Anyway, let's. I'm saying I don't know what the rules of thumb, and maybe there are no rules. You know, maybe it's just spontaneous generation. I don't know.
Some brachos we recognize and we know is the right. Right. Okay, but there's no and the Gemara adds in,
so
whatever's the
Rabbanan. I'm just saying, should you be making your own Birkas HaMazon, or should one person be making Birkas HaMazon?
By the way, that's that way.
Correct, and I think it sort of reflects what Rashi is saying, okay, that maybe one person should make the bracha. I don't know, but maybe I'm making a mountain out of a molehill. Rashi doesn't mean it, you know. Rashi just means one person's going to read the Megillah on behalf of everyone else. You know, Rashi mentions
also, which is also a different, you know, saying that there's something to that too. That even if it's just, forget the bracha. Let's say bracha doesn't mean mevarech.
Right.
It means that it just creates the Megillah. There's something to be said for that too. The fact that there's one to read the Megillah and everybody listen, as opposed to 10, right. 8 people sitting around each reading their own Megillah.
Absolutely. And of course, if you don't have a Megillah, then for sure you want to hear every word from the Kori, because he's reading it from a Megillah. But even if you have your own Megillah, I think you're right, Osher. You should be listening to the Kori. So perhaps we could say that whenever there's Pirsum Anes, then one, you know, if you go with the Mechaber, which is based on the Rambam, that in Adlokas and Hanukkah, one person should be Madlik for everyone. And now in Kriyas HaMegillah, which is a more familiar minute for us, that's the custom that we're familiar with, that one person will read the Megillah for everybody. Then maybe you shouldn't be, you know, there used to be a television program, Sing Along with Mitch, yeah. Remember that? So there's no Sing Along with Mitch over here, just you have to hear every word from the Baal Kori. Now again, if Chas V'Shalom you miss the word, then read it in the Megillah, because you don't want to miss the mitzvah. And then he says, once we've already established that we paskin like Rav and Rav Yochanan, and that there is Kriya B'Yochid, Iisa she'ein bo bracha B'Yochid, amulei lefrushe, my mevarech b'yomar b'tzibur. In other words, Rashi should have qualified that the word mevarech only refers to the tzibur. So basically what Rabbeinu Yosef Ish Yerushalayim wants to add here, that we didn't have until this point, if I'm reading him correctly, is that the bracha will be recited even b'yachid. And that's what he learns from the Tshuvas Rashi. Meaning until this point, what we knew is that there is Kriyas HaMegillah b'yachid, but we didn't know if the bracha was established on a yachid. Which means the following, that it could be that the Pirsum HaNes is a prerequisite as far as the bracha on Megillah is concerned. You know, if he's talking about Shalsa Nisim Lav Hoseinu, I can understand that. But he's talking even about Asher Kishonu Mitzvot Tzvano Al Kriyas HaMegillah, right? That even that bracha might, in the Habamina, require a tzibur in order to make the bracha. His final maskana, based on Rashi, is no. That just like there's a mitzvah of reading the Megillah B'yachid, so too there's a mitzvah of being mevarech on the Megillah B'yachid. But the Havamina here, before Rabbi Yosef Yishan came onto the scene, was that maybe with its faith that we could differentiate between two dinim here. There's one din as far as the obtaining the kiyum of Megillah, and then there's another din as far as the brachos are concerned. And maybe in that Havamina, the brachos are an essential part of setting up what we call Pirsum HaNes. Okay, so that's so far what we have. Okay. Now we say, Umi Omar of As Rav Hachi. You have the Gemara now. Now the Gemara posits a stira between one statement of Rav and another statement of Rav. That Rav seems to require, at least l'chatchila, a minyan for Megillah Shelo Bizmana. V'omar Rav Yehuda Berei Derav Shmuel Bar Shilat Mishmei Derav Purim. Okay, so this is a statement in the name of Rav. By the way, you know the name Shilat here appears? Do you know what Shilat stands for? Just mentioning it in passing.
There's an intersection. So much Shilat. At the entrance to Mordi East.
Is Purim Shechalios B'Shabbos. Erev Shabbos Mano, right? We can't read the Megillah on Shabbos, as we discussed the great length. And now Rav makes a statement that Erev Shabbos Friday becomes Zmano. So the Gemara is not happy about this, because the phrase, the word Zmanon, seems to indicate that that's kavur, that that's the universal Zman. So the Gemara says, Erev Shabbos Zmanon? That's not true. Again, really, the Zman is on Yudalit, right, and that's on Shabbos. But we have a din of Dechiyah over here. So the word Zmanon, the Gemara has a problem with. You know, it's the nuance of the word Zmanon seems to indicate that that's really the Iker Zman of the mitzvah. That's not really so, because the Iker Zman of the mitzvah is really on Shabbos. That's when they were koveya for Bnei HaProzim to read the Megillah on the 14th. And that's the original Takon of the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, that the Prozim read it on the 14th. Now Chachamim came later and they made a gzera that if Shabbos coincides with Yudalit, then we're not going to read it on Yudalit because Xerah the Rabbah, but rather we are makdim it. But well, what does he mean that Erev Shabbos Zmanom? What's the extra emphasis here of Rav that Erev Shabbos Zmanom? So the Gemara wants to interpret it one way. El Olav, shouldn't we interpret it this way? Hachi Kamer, this is what Rav had in mind. Shalob Zmanom ki Zmanom. That in this case where Shalob Zmanom, it has the same status as Zmanom. What is he trying to add over here by adding this word Zmano? Ma Zmano mafilu biyochid, af Shalob Zmano mafilu biyochid. And now we come to the conclusion then that Rav is telling me that even though here he's going to be makdim to the 13th of Adar, meaning on that Friday, which makes it into Shalob Zmano, it has the same din as Bizmano, meaning nothing changed. What does that mean, nothing changed? I mean, what's the import? What's the
same chiyuv of the iskalon on it?
On whom?
On the individual.
On the yochid, excellent. Yeah. Correct. So that's what the Gemara wants to assume here, that the Zmanon here, what does it mean that we shift the Zman upwards, you know, from Yudalit back up to Yud Gimel, but it's the identical mitzvah, just like the Zmanon is the yochid, and that we've never had a question about that according to Rav. So too, Shalom Zmanom is biyochid. Now, notice that the Gemara is equating two scenarios. The original discussion that we had, as Rashi said about Shalom Zmanom, three lines down from the top, was the Kfarim HaMakdimim Liyom HaKnisa. Now we're talking about a different Shalom Zmanom. We're talking about when Shabbos coincides with Yudalit, and therefore Shalom Zmanom for the Prozos. Not because of the Din of Makdim Liyom HaKnisa, because of the Iser of reading the Megillah on Shabbos. But the Gemara makes an absolute equation between the two. As long as Shalob Zmanom, you don't have the Yom, and the Yom is necessary to generate Pirsum Anes for a Yochid, and if you don't have the Yom, then you're going to have to fall back on the Tzibur. The Tzibur is going to generate Pirsum Anes. And that was Rav's original position, the way we understood it. But now we have a new Rav, and Rav is saying in the second statement, according to the Gemara's interpretation, before the Gemara rejects it, that even Shalob Zmanom has the same status as Bizmanom. And even though you're lacking the Yom itself, nevertheless you have Pirsum Anes by virtue of the Chiyuv Yachid. And when I read it in a closed room, just between me, myself, and I can fulfill Pirsum Anes. I don't need a Tzibur, even though it's Shalob Zmanom. You see, I would have said that Shalob Zmanom is the case of Makdimim Liyom HaKnisa, because there, the bulk of Klal Yisrael, both the Prozim and the Kruchim are reading it on a different day, you know, and these are the two main days of Purim. But in the case where we shift the entire Prozim, which I think is the bulk of Klal Yisrael, over to Yud Gimel, maybe in that case we don't need the Pirsum Anes of a Tzibur, we can get Pirsum Anes from the Ayaros, from the Prozim. But the Gemara doesn't make that distinction. The Gemara says it all depends on the day, the calendar day. So Gemara says, lo, that's not what Rav had in mind when he said Bizmano. But rather, in Mikra Megillah, what Rav wanted to tell us is that although Mikra Megillah in this case is Basara, because we're talking about the Yud Gimel, Mayer of Shabbos Manom, Lafuke Midr Rebbe. Because Rebbe wants to say that in this case, everybody should read on Thursday, on Yom HaKnisa. Everybody excepting the Kruchim, right? The Kruchim are going to read on Sunday, because that's Tesvav, but But we're going to link together, according to Rebbe, both the Ayoros and the Kfarim, and be Makdim all the way back to the 12th of Adar. And what's the logic of Rebbe, if you recall? This we spent a lot of time on, hold the Nidhu. Nidhu, meaning once they were Nidhu, Ayoros from Koma, they're not reading on Yudalid. So now let's get the added benefit, you know, the extra cherry on top of integrating the Ayoros with the Mukafas Koma, the Yidhu Yom HaKnisa. HaKamashma, this is what Rav wants to tell us. I don't paskin like Rebbe in this case, the Erev Shabbos Manom Hu, that the time for reading the Megillah is on Erev Shabbos.
Shabbos,
okay.
Is Erev Shabbos during the...
No, it's the
13th. On Yom Kippur. Right,
Shabbos is on the 14th. Then you push it to Shabbos rather than going back to Thursday, right. Yom HaKnisa, which we talked about before, is that there are a bunch of reasons why we might want to do that. Daniyam.
Yeah. As opposed to Rebbe, who in this case would say that you read it on Wednesday night and Thursday morning.
Right.
I don't know about Wednesday night. I shouldn't get into that because that's a whole big machlokas whether the kfarim read at night.
Okay, yeah, but
that's a lovish
assumption. But if you were going to, according to Rebbe, if you were the ayaros backwards, they would have to do it on Wednesday night.
I don't know. I don't know because again, I don't know if there's a din of kedima on Lila. You know, the one who talks about this at great length is the Yavitz. You remember the Rav Zsolti has a whole discussion about Kriyas HaMegillah Balayla, and he says that that's a separate din in the 14th and the 15th, meaning on those 2 days they added a special Kriya, but there's no such thing as Kriya Balayla on any other day. Oh yeah, that's if you want we can spend the morning on that, you know. If not, I'll try to teach it in. Okay, now we get to the Mishnah. Now again, up until this point we spoke about Ayoros, and they have Purim on Yidal. We spoke about the Kfarim, and they're Makdim Yom HaKnisa. But who are the Ayoros? What constitutes an ear, as far as Kriyas HaMegillah? And who's considered a Kfar? What's considered a Kfar? So the Mishnah says the following. Ezu hi ir gedola, which city qualifies as reading Megillah on Yidal? Kol sheyesh ba asora batlon. Okay, now what's asora batlon? Oh, so Rashi says you need two conditions in order to have Asara Batlon, besides the number 10, I'm saying. You know, you need 10 men. But what do we know about these two men? So Rashi explains elsewhere, not here, but in Masechet Tainis and also in Masechet Brachos, that Batlonim are people who, number one, are not occupied with any sort of work. They are laid back, so to speak, laid off, if you want to call that. So they're not osik b'shum malacha, but that's not the only condition. There's another condition. They have to be supported by the tzibur. And these are the 10 men that are always available in the Beis HaKnesses to set up a minyan. So you never have to look for a minyan in a city that has asara batlon. Now watch what goes on here. You and I might have said, if not for this Mishnah, that what constitutes an ir gedola, maybe shishim ribu, you know, it has X number of, I think here in the state of Israel, for example, to qualify as a city for various legal reasons and tax reasons, it has to have a minimum population.
Yes.
Here, the Mishnah says there's no minimum population. I don't care how many people live in the city.
It has to do with wealth.
It has to do with Asar Batlon.
Asar Batlon, we said they're supported by the tzibur, right?
Right.
And they have to eat. So if they're supported by the tzibur, it has to do with how wealthy. What if you have 100,000 people, but everybody makes
it? It could be that you have a wealthy city and they don't appoint Asar Batlon. You could have a poor city that would support Asar Batlon.
According to that, if I have one Rothschild sitting in my city, and he has 40 people, and he takes 10 people, and he says, I'm supporting these 10 people to be sure.
So that has to do with the wealth.
Right, but it doesn't have to do with the wealth of the city. It just has to do with
the city. If this one pier is... one pier, he's got the manufacturing plant, so everybody's working for him.
Right. But Moshe, I wanted to give you the opposite scenario. Let's say you have a bunch of poor people, but they each squeeze out, you know, enough money to support the
Asar Batlon. Because they did it.
Oh, I see what you're saying. That's what you mean by wealth. I thought you meant it has to do with the average income of the person. So maybe instead of wealth, we'll call it support, if you know what I mean. So again, you can have poor people, but they'll squeeze themselves and they'll pitch themselves.
What is poor? If a guy makes exactly what he makes?
Less than 200 zuz, according to Dalai.
That's why.
His annual salary is less than 200
zuz. I heard what's... So I didn't say the time. Tzedaka, the gematria of tzedaka is 199.
So once fascinating. So pachas mikan, says the Mishnah. If you don't have asar batlanim, let's say you have 9 batlanim in the city, harezek far, then we're going to be mocked into the Yom HaKnisa. Why? Because if you don't have asar batlanim, you never know if there'll be a minion. And we want to guarantee the possibility of a minion. And especially in the case of the Kfarim, as we said before, they're Makdim, and it's Shalob Ismana, so we want to get a minion. Now here, there's a very extensive footnote. And he quotes a bunch of Rishonim who ask the following question. The Yom HaKnisa, Rashi already says at the very beginning of Masechta Megillah, is for the Yom HaDin. It means the Bnei Kfarim come in on Mondays and Thursdays because that's when the Beis Din sat. If that be the case, the Rishonim ask, why does the Mishnah say that our definition of a large city depends upon Asor Batlonim? Asor Batlonim is Halach and Tefillah, but it has nothing to do with Beis Din. According to Rashi, if you want to define an Ir Gedola, it should be a city that has a Beis Din Kavua. What does that have to do with Asor Batlonim? And the Rishonim say, V'chichol makom sheyesh ba'asor batlonim yesh la bezdin? Are you going to assume that since there are 10 people who are always lingering around at the shul, they're always available for a minion, therefore, ipso facto, there is a bezdin in the city? V'chichol yesh'ein ba'asor batlonim behechri shelo yeh bezdin? Basically, these are two independent factors over here. You might have asor batlonim for the Beis HaKnesses, but you may or may not have a bezdin, and if you don't have asar batlonim, you still might have a bezdin. So Rashi, insofar as the Yom HaKnisa concept is dependent upon bezdin, the definition of Abishna and the requirement of asar batlonim seems to be totally off base. So the one who comes to defend Rashi is the Rashba. Let's see if in the minute or two that we have, we can fit in this Rashba. The Rashba says that there are two dinim. One din is that Chachomim were mekil for the Bnei HaKfarim to allow an earlier reading because they come in to a city for Beis Din on Monday and Thursday. And he says, Afilu yesh b'kfar asor batlonim kora b'yom haknisa mikevat she'enam b'kiyim likros. Just one second. He says that let's say in the kfar itself, you hear this? In the village itself, there are asar batlonim. So you and I would say, if there are asar batlonim, let them read the Megillah on the 14th. They have asar batlonim. They're guaranteed a minion. Well, what's the problem? So the Rashba says, name. Here's where the bezdin element plays the role. Now, He seems to assume, the Rashba, that even though this kfar is endowed with asor batlonim, they still read b'yom haknisa. Why? Because they don't have bekius. They don't have the expertise to read the Megillah. And therefore they come into the city, and the asor batlonim will guarantee them a minion, but we still don't have someone to read the Megillah. They need one of the city slickers, who's a baki, who's going to be able to read the Megillah. In this case, the kfar is considered a kfar, even though it has asor batlonim, and it will be makdim in Yom HaKnisa. And here, we're going to look at Mondays and Thursdays as days where the Bnei HaKfarim were coming in anyway, and therefore it was convenient for them to hear the Megillah on those days from one of the Bekiyim that lives in the city. That's number one. So that's the first thing. So it means that we need this definition of Beis Din, which draws the Bnei HaKfarim into the city. We need that for a case where the Bnei HaKfar have Asar Batlon, but nevertheless, there will be a kdima, makdim liyom haknisa, in order to allow them to come into the big city for Beis Din, and at the same time to hear one of the great experts in the Bnei Ayaros, in the Bnei Ayir, to read the Megillah. That's the first thing. The second thing is that there was a kula for the Bnei Ayaros. Why? They don't have a guaranteed minyan. Because they don't have Asor Batlanim. They could be a giant metropolis, but if they're not endowed with Asor Batlanim, they have the status of a kfar, and we're going to allow them to read the Megillah on Yom Sheni v'Chamishi before Yudalit, because then they gather in, and they gather together for purpose of Kriyas HaTorah. And therefore, on Purim itself, they don't have to run around looking for a minyan for Kriyas HaMegillah, because they're going to read it on days where there already is a minyan gathered. And why is there a minyan gathered? Because of Kriyas HaTorah on Sheni v'Chamishi. So, believe that, maybe tomorrow we'll pick this up and try to expand on it a little bit. I wish you a great day.